Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, June 18th. I'm Ray Graff. If you're looking to make some improvements around the house, we have the expert here to answer your questions. Darren Tracy is here. He's a licensed professional engineer and construction specialist. He has extensive experience in construction, renovation, and property management, and joins us to offer his expertise every so often. Always a popular show, so call early. If you have a question for Darren, 800-348-2551. We'll also play another stirring edition of Name That Tool in a little bit. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy and your home improvement calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement today, and we welcome back Darren Tracy. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. You want to join the conversation today? Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You may also email the program if you want. voxpop@wamc.org. That's the email, and the number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy, welcome back. How are you, my friend?
Thank you, Ray. Any better and I'd have to pinch myself.
Wow, really that good, huh? So what's happening? What are you working on?
Started a home improvement project of my own. Just today, actually. The thought process has been going on for a little while, but we're adding a shower to our first floor. We have a two-story home. We're adding a shower to our first floor for two reasons. One, our mother-in-law visits almost every year, and she can't get up and down the stairs easily, so this is going to enable her to take a shower, you know, without us.
You have an outdoor shower.
We have an outdoor shower.
Get hosed down the mother-in-law outside, you know.
Actually, she'd probably enjoy getting naked out there and taking a shower. Yeah, I mean, privacy screenings.
Right, I understand, yes. Yeah. That's fine.
So the second reason for doing that is for us to age in place in our home, which I think is advisable, and a lot of people think about that as they grow older, you know. Who wants to end up in some nursing home or living assistance place if they can live in their home? So we're trying to maximize that. So the shower is going to serve that purpose.
And that could be a big job depending on how far the pipes are away, yeah?
Right. Well, we've got a full basement and our piping is pretty well set up in the area because we do have a bathroom downstairs.
Oh, okay.
So we've got a toilet and a sink. So we just have to add a shower and we are taking the space of a little closet, like a broom closet, and it's big enough just to squeeze in a 36-inch square shower. So that's what we're doing.
You know, if you put a shower, if you are retrofitting an old home and you put a shower in, you want to put one on the second floor. Maybe you have a cape and there's no shower up there. Maybe you have a half bath. You have to do some structural analysis to see if the building can take the weight of the shower?
Probably not. You think about the shower, it only weighs, 200-300-400 pounds, maybe if it's tiled and you have it one person standing in the shower, unless you're really cozy and you want to save water type.
Right,
and then it's only two people in the shower. So, structurally, no. If it's adequate as it is, then you probably don't have to reinforce it for a shower.
You know, I see ads on TV for these. And by the way, our guest today is Darren Tracy. We talk home maintenance, repair, and improvement. Feel free to give us a call, 800-323-9262. Nope, that's the fund drive number. Ah, for Pete's sake. Oh, God. I gave the fund drive number more times than you can even, more than there are stars in the sky.
Yeah,
the number for this program is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Darren Tracy, you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. We have a few emails. We'll get to them in a minute. We'll also play Name That Tool a little bit. I see ads on TV for these. You talk about aging in place. These stair lifts. You ever put one of those in?
I did. We had one actually in our home for the same reason. Our mother-in-law was visiting a couple of years ago, and I saw one for sale secondhand on Facebook Marketplace for like $300 or $400. Pretty reasonable because those are like 10 times.
Is this a chain drive or is it a direct drive?
It's a rack and pinion. It's a worm gear with a track, basically. So it's an electric motor that has a gear that turns, and the track is a pinion, or rack, I guess. The rack is the fixed part, and the pinion is the moving part. So it just goes up and down with this electric motor. So we installed it pretty easily, and works out pretty well. You know, it got her up and down the stairs to the shower very easily. But I think long-term, if you were incapacitated a bit more, it might be difficult to get yourself in that unit and out of that unit. You'd need some help. Whereas first floor living, I think, is a little bit better.
You know, you do you hook this into a 220?
Plugged it into 110. 110
really?
Volt. Screwed the track in. You know what? That would be a good video.
Well, yeah.
I'll make a video of that. Also, I need to improve my video skills. I think I need a better software application. If any of our listeners know of a good software that's easy that works with an iPhone, I use iMovie.
I like the video we put on there today.
Did you?
Painting bricks. What's up with that?
I made this quick video. I want to make a video of a Wiawaka woman's retreat in Lake George, but it warrants a lot of time because there's a lot of good information about it. And I keep putting that off until the day before a show, and like I don't have enough time to do it justice. So I made another one, and it was regarding whether or not to paint brick or not.
Yeah,
which is, you know, a good question. You see a lot of painted brick buildings. So the short answer is that you do not want to paint brick buildings in a northern climate because the warm air from inside will track to the outside. Second law of thermodynamics in the wintertime, and it'll cool and condense, and it'll pop the face of the brick off or pop the paint off.
Oh,
so
fascinating.
So you don't want to paint brick.
There's no breathable paint that you could put on?
Not so much paint, but there is a breathable coating, and that's what the video is about. It's called a mineral coating or a mineral paint, not to be confused with masonry paint. The mineral paint bonds to the brick and allows vapor to pass through. And
interesting.
In this particular building that we used it on 6 years ago, it looks like we just installed it. It's
amazing.
It's like a really good product. It's not used that much in this country. It's used a lot in Europe. So that's what that video is about, and people can look on YouTube for that.
And there's a link on our page for today's show right to it, so you can check it out. Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement. The number is 800-348-2551. All right, a couple minutes before the break, and then we're going to hit the phones and the emails. But now it's time to play another exciting edition of Name That Tool. And, Darren, I have no idea what the blue blazes this thing is.
Coming over to you.
Okay, here we go. It's got wheels. It almost looks like a child's toy, but it's made of metal. And if a kid had, it had a nail in it. And that's weird. It has a hole on the top that has a nail, or maybe it's the bottom. I'm not sure. Looks like it tightens there. And
I'll tighten that up so the nail doesn't fall up.
That's okay. I won't.
I've got my little Leatherman. I'm tightening up.
It has two big wheels like a kid's toy from the old days, and it's got a handle. So it almost looks like, you know, one of those old artillery gun trailers, you know? The number here is 800-348-2551. You got to guess. It looks like it's made of steel. Yeah? No, what is this?
I think it's aluminum.
Aluminum? Okay. It has some weight to it. The wheels are also of some metal, probably aluminum, same stuff. The number here is 800-348-2551. I have no idea what you would use this for. Sometimes I can sort of get an idea. This one?
That's good. I've got you stumped.
You got me stumped, and I hope our listeners do better. Last time we did this, it was too easy.
Yeah, right.
And so this one is significantly more challenging. All right, quick. I tell you what, let's take a break, Zach, and then we'll hit the emails. 800-348-2551 is our number. Darren Tracy is our guest. We'll get back to you in a moment. From 1975, there's Focus and My Sweetheart here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. Darren Tracy's our guest. Before we get to the emails and then the phones, one more time, we're playing Name That Tool. This thing's rolling around here. It's got a handle. It's got metal wheels and a nail that's going through it. You can let us know. Oh, I think we have one vote. We'll have to go to Eric and Brandon first. This email came in early today from Dennis. Two questions. We need to wash our 30-year-old bare pre-treated oak floors. They're in good shape, but grimy. Can you recommend a technique? Water does not clean enough. Steam cleaning wood causes swelling. Or should I just call the manufacturer?
I didn't see that last part. Calling the manufacturer is always a good idea. And it says it's coated with bare product.
Bare pre-treated oak floors. Yep.
Yeah, bare. The only bare I know, B-E-H-R, is a coating, a paint coating product.
Oh, okay, so I see. Those are not the floors themselves. This is just
the maybe
coating.
It is. Okay. But if it is, it's another use of that word.
Okay.
It sounds like it's the floor itself. But anyways, cleaning that, I think you can apply some amount of water without damaging the wood. Just dry it after. So maybe a water soluble cleaning product like 409, something like that. Maybe with a kitchen abrasive cloth, a little green pad. Try that. I think that might work.
Is there a danger you're gonna scratch it?
I don't think so. Whatever product they're using, it sounds like it's a penetrant product, not a coating like paint. So I would try that and just dry the floor after.
Okay. Dennis prefers anonymous. I just see at the bottom of the email. But I didn't say the town. There are a lot of Dennises out there, so it's all good. Second question. Anyone think there are more ants than usual indoors? Are borax and sugar recipes, both with and without water, dispatch different kinds of ants? We may need to try some pre-made baited poison also. I haven't seen any more ants this year. Of course, we have.
I've seen quite a few ants. It may be due to the rain. I think we're several inches above average.
We do like organic pest spray every year. We have a guy come out and do it. Ever since we started doing that, it's not been an issue. It's amazing. I don't know what it is, but it's supposed to be okay. And I haven't grown any extra limbs, so it seems to be all right. This email from Rachel, I think. Last May, we bought a home that had its septic system replaced. The backyard has random big dips, a couple of them close to the base posts of the deck. The deck also needs some repair. A few boards are in need of replacement, and it for sure needs to be repainted. What type of profession am I looking for? Construction, landscaper, someone else? And that's from Rachel in Middle Grove.
Well, it sounds like just need to add some topsoil in those depressed areas. It sounds like the excavation work wasn't backfilled properly. And just add some dirt to level that out.
Okay.
You know, and regarding the deck, I have to get a better look at that. That's a carpenter, handyman.
Okay.
If you've got issues with that.
All right. Now, just a note for everyone who emails who doesn't want their name read. I mean, I'll never do a last name. Put that directive at the top of the email, because a lot of times I'll just read them down and then I'll realize, I just made a boo-boo. So there you go. One more email and then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest today. Donna, who apparently doesn't mind her name being announced, writes, recently I received an invitation from National Grid with a 25% off incentive to upgrade to a heat pump. My HVAC system was installed in a new home in October 2013. Are heat pumps yet ready for our winter weather? Is replacing my existing system at this time a wise decision, even with a 25% discount? Tough question.
The first part of that's not a difficult question. Yes, the heat pumps are more efficient and able to heat to a lower temperature. So yes, that's
they're better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the systems themselves will
go
down.
The systems, the technology, right? The ability to heat efficiently at a lower temperature has improved over the years. So, yes.
I think it also depends on your house, if you're well-insulated. You know, mine isn't that well-insulated, and my electric bills were pretty dang high this winter. It was a cold winter, but...
Yeah. Of course, that's one of the first things to do is to improve the energy efficiency of your house. I mean, if you keep the doors open, you can put the best heater known to man there, and it's not going to heat the house well, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. So, yes, insulate first. But definitely heat pumps, mini splits are viable in this climate. You may need to augment those systems a little bit with another existing system unless your house is super insulated. Now, the other part of that question was, is it a wise thing or a good thing for me to do knowing my system's only 12 years old, I guess? And... That depends. It depends on, you know, the cost of the unit. I mean, a 25% discount is definitely a significant discount.
That's so, a good incentive.
I'd have to take a close look at it.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's play Name That Tool. And the first one here who got in is Eric in Brandon, Vermont. Eric, you're on. Go ahead. What's the tool?
I'm assuming I'm live here.
You are.
Hello. Gentlemen.
Hello.
Yes, in a previous incarnation, I was a mason, and that tool is used to clean out the joints, to rake the joints. I've forgotten the name of it, but it does look like a toy, doesn't it?
It does look like a toy. A toy cannon. All you need is a cannon on the top of it.
Doesn't have the name. Would you call that a close enough guess? But the use is correct.
All right, well, maybe someone will have the name. But so Eric in Brandon, Vermont is correct.
Yeah, he's correct, and actually... He used words in his explanation that are the name of this. It's a joint raker.
Okay.
He said to rake out the joints. That's
all right, Eric. Exactly. You win absolutely nothing but our enduring admiration.
It's the prestige.
That's it.
That's matters
it,
here.
That's totally it. Hey, thanks for
fantastic.
The call.
That's
let's
funny.
See. David wrote in. I don't know where David was writing from, but he said for striking masonry joints. Is that correct?
Right, and this can be used for in a couple of different ways. The nail is adjustable for the depth of the joint. So
yeah, okay, that's
hold
why.
Hold this up along the wall horizontally, and the wheels ride along the outside of the brick.
When do you think that was invented?
This is an older tool. So
way back when?
Human
ingenuity is amazing, isn't it, man?
Before our generation.
Incredible.
Right.
And someone wrote cap nut tool. That's not correct,
no,
right?
That's
okay.
Not
and
it.
Somebody wrote a line marker. That's not correct, right?
Right.
All right.
So this tool can be used in a couple of different manners. You can, in any event, you roll it along the horizontal mortar joint.
Yeah.
And adjust the nail to the depth that you want. It can be used on fresh mortar, relatively fresh mortar. Just to rake out, hence the name of the tool, rake
okay.
out the mortar to a certain depth, maybe a quarter of an inch or so, and that gives a certain look to the mortar joint, kind of a shadow look, a recessed look. And if you walk around, you'll notice all these different mortar joints on a building. If you're a building geek like I am, so, that's a cool.
So you know, you'll be able to tell right away when it's been used.
I look, sometimes people or masons will just run that along the joint and just... It'll like leave a little furrow, like you're planting a garden hill, and they leave that as it is, which is an interesting look.
Interesting.
But often this tool is used to clean out old mortar joints on old houses that need to be repointed because the mortar's falling out.
Huh.
So you use this tool,
so
go
cool.
back and forth, and it takes the old mortar out to about a depth is a good depth for repointing, and so there we go.
All right, our guest today is Darren Tracy, and there's another great, great time with Name That Tool. Congratulations to our winner today. 800-348-2551 is our number, and let's go to the phone. Steve has been waiting a while in Pawling, New York. Steve, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
1990-built cape, two stories, about 32 by 22 is the footprint. The central beam is held up by what I guess you call is a lolly column every 8 feet or so. And I noticed that one of those was kind of corroded. So I got screw jacks and I put them in place around that. Can I now remove the existing corroded jack?
The jack being the lally column? Are you talking about, Steve, that's corroded?
Right. So there's a lally column about every 8 feet approximately, and I put a screw jack on either side of it just to take the weight off of that.
Yeah, if that's rusting out, which they do, you can use those jacks to temporarily support the beam and then replace that lally column with a new lally column of adequate strength. And I would suggest painting the bottom of your new lally column with an oil-based paint and maybe adding a little square of vapor barrier underneath your lally column to isolate moisture wicking up through the concrete, and then you'll never have to worry about replacing that again, nor will the next homeowner.
Steve.
Okay. I appreciate that. Is every 8 feet approximately correct for load-bearing columns?
That's a function of the size of the beam. You could have a beam robust enough where you wouldn't need any lally columns, or you can have a weaker beam, smaller dimension, maybe made out of wood, not many members to the wood, and it requires more posts. So again, it's a function of the strength of the beam supporting it.
Okay, Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement. 800-348-2551. Nancy is in Castleton. Hello, Nancy. You're on.
Oh, thank you. My house was built in 1957, and I've been in it 8 years. And in the past year, my basement floor has got water coming up. I had a rolled floor on it that's floating.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what to do.
I'm sorry to hear that. Been a really wet year.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier in
It's been a really wet year, as we mentioned earlier in the program
because of the ant problem. So the immediate thing to do, in my opinion, would be to install a sump pump in the basement. And you would need, if it's a concrete floor, you would need to saw out with a diamond saw or jackhammer out an area about maybe 16 inches in diameter so that a sump pump could be installed there. And then that sump pump would be piped up and out of your home and discharged away from your house. That's a good, quick fix.
Yeah, but that's not really going to fix it because it's the part that's where the water's coming up is in the center of the finished room.
Okay. Well, you could put the sump wherever you want. Center of the room may not be the best place for it functionally. You could try that over in a corner of a basement.
But if the water's coming up in the center, will it do any good if the sump pump's in the...
It may. If the house was constructed properly, 1957, proper technique would be to install stone underneath the slab. And if it's stone, water really migrates through that stone. So if you put the sump pump over in the corner and drew the water table down, it would pull the water table down from the whole basement. So I think you might have luck, success, by installing that sump over in the corner out of the way of that particular room. Pretty sure you would.
Nancy?
Yes.
What do you think?
Well,
skeptical?
Like I said, it's the finished room. It's the length. The room is the entire length of the house.
At some point, you need to dedicate a spot to a sump pump.
Yeah.
And your contention, Darren, is it'll bring the water table down and it probably won't bubble up in the middle. At least it's a fairly inexpensive experiment.
I said, well, yeah, it's fairly inexpensive, and you have to do something.
Right.
It's a function of the soil type. If it's a granular soil, sand, gravel, pardon me?
Clay.
It's clay.
Okay. That's a different story. If it's clay and imported gravel or stone was not put underneath the slab, then that technique may not work so well because clay is basically water impermeable.
So what do you do then?
Well, I would go ahead and try the sump pump over in the corner and see what happens. There are other actions you can take to mitigate water. Talked about these numerous times programs in the past, and if you look on my Facebook page, West Branch Engineering and Consulting, I have some ideas, or my YouTube channel, I have some ideas of there how to deal with water in the basement. In fact, I just posted an idea this morning on my West Branch Engineering Facebook page.
Okay.
Keep the water away from the building in the first place. Possibly add gutters if you can maintain those. Pitch the grade away from the foundation. That's very important.
Yeah.
Possibly install a vapor barrier or a water membrane at the eave line outside so that water goes down.
Interesting. Okay.
Off the roof. It hits the water membrane and pitches away and sheds away from your basement in the first place. So it's kind of a multi-layered approach in terms of mitigating water, the water damage to a basement. But I definitely would try a sump right off.
All right, Nancy, thank you very much for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. It's Darren Tracy Day today on Vox Pop. And let's go to, all right, get ready. Get ready to turn down the volume just a little bit, Zach. We'll go over to line five and say hello to Merle in Argyle. Hello, Merle.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
My question has to do with old cross beam, you know, set by 8 to 10, hand hewn. They were inside, obviously, a barn or a house. Now they put them outside. I did that thinking that they would just last forever. Well, they didn't.
Oh, boy.
They rotted. Do you have any suggestions how you preserve it outside?
Cross
in
beams.
The shade.
Okay.
Well, you can paint them or stain them, and to minimize that, I mean, a paint will, just like any wood outside, keeps the water away from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not permanent. You know, you'll have to scrape and repaint, you know, every 5 years or so, something
yeah.
like that.
All right. Merle, we got a little problem with the phone. We're hearing some pops, so we'll let you go. Thank you for the call. 800-348-2551. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to comment on not Merle's call, but the caller before regarding the clay soil in the basement. It's very interesting how different soils can act differently. For instance, clay compared to sandy gravel.
Yeah.
Clay is actually used often in civil engineering as a water barrier. Many dams are made with a clay core. So
I wonder, does she have a burst pipe or something?
No, it just sounds like wet.
Yeah.
Wet season.
Yeah.
And it's working its way up into her basement.
Okay.
And basements are like a bathtub, especially in clay. And they need to find, the water's looking for a place to go. And the basement is a place for it to go. But a granular soil, and there's a world called geotechnical engineering out there. It deals with all these different types of soils in the that occur in nature. And it's almost an unlimited variety of soils, and they all can act differently. So I just wanted to mention that.
All right, tell you what, before we take our break, let's check this email out from Drea, who says, I have a TPO rubber roof on the flat roof of my brownstone. Recently, the roofing pulled away from the brick chimney at the parapet, allowing rain to come in during heavy storms. The mortar was loose and came off with the adhesive of the TPO. I have already arranged for a mason to repoint the chimney. But I also want to reseal the edge of the TPO at the chimney. Can I use exterior silicone caulk to accomplish this, or does TPO need a particular adhesive to reseal it?
Probably not silicone. From what I know about TPO, it's a sheet good. It's a membrane like EPDM, a rubber roof, but it's a different chemical composition. And I believe often that is seamed together. The joints are made with heat.
Oh, okay.
Not chemicals. You may be able to use chemicals also, but I know that we did one project, State University of New York at Potsdam, with a big TPO roof, and it was bonded together with heat. So not silicone.
All right.
Check with the manufacturer.
All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551, the number. Darren Tracy, the guest. Home maintenance, repair, and improvement, the topic. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Kenton and the orchestra, Jump for Joe. Darren Tracy says he preferred Focus from the earlier break. But, yeah. You know, it's a big world. Everybody gets their thing. 800-348-2551. One more email here, and then we'll jump back to the phones. This is from Scott. Could Darren comment and recommend slash educate us on water softeners? I need to get one. Would like some help. Do you know anything about the efficacy of saltless water softeners? I know they're out there, but don't know anyone that has one. Where in softeners that use salt, contractors have advised me to just run in the wash line out into my septic tank. I don't think this is a good idea. I've also been advised to run the wash line out, drain to daylight, that I have, but it is connected to a perimeter drain around my foundation, so it would travel halfway around my foundation before exiting the drain to daylight. I don't like this idea either. Appreciate any help you can provide. First up, saltless water softeners.
Okay. I cannot provide any information on that. I just don't know anything about saltless water heaters.
Okay.
I can comment on discharging your salt water softener into your septic system.
Yeah.
And you should not do that. I've designed a bunch of septic systems, and New York State Department of Health, who's a governing body on that, states that you should not do that because it can affect the microbial action of your system and mess it up. So discharge that out someplace with storm water away from the building, but not into your septic system.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. And I don't know this person's name. I just see a number. Presumably this person has a name. In Shelburne, Vermont, what's your name?
It's Ted.
Hey, how you doing?
You know me from using that other phone number.
You bet, man. You're on. Go ahead.
That's good. I'm interested mostly in cleaning out dusting, and a few spider webs, I suspect, are in my hot water baseboard heating fins, and I haven't really got down there with a flashlight and probe to see. I presume that there could be some disassembly to clean things out there.
Hi, Ted.
There might even be a YouTube on it, but does that sound familiar? And I don't know the brand name, but it's a very common steel baseboard hot water with a...
I got you. I'm with you.
We've seen those.
And Ted's talking about these baseboard units that run around the perimeter walls of your home.
Yeah.
They have fin tubes wrapped around a copper pipe, and that's how you get the surface area for good transmission.
Yeah.
So they do have a cover. And different manufacturers have covers that snap together differently, but they're made to come off, so snap off. I'd wear a pair of gloves.
I thought they should be, and it didn't yield exactly, but I will probably find it with a strong set of fingers and a flashlight.
Yeah,
but
Ted,
I wondered if there was a clue.
Well, I'll give you a clue. Put your gloves on first so you're not cutting your fingers on those fin tubes. And then take the end caps off. The end caps might be encapsulating the cover, so the cover won't come off unless you take the...
Yeah, exactly. And I did, again, I tried a little bit of tugging, but
typically,
I'm the first one to be unscrewing things and taking them apart, but I haven't done this yet.
Okay, typically you grab a hold of the bottom and lift up, rotate upwards. And it'll snap away from the rest of the unit. So grab the bottom, rotate towards you, and it should come off.
Okay.
And then I'll see screws or something, or
no? It's usually they're just on there by like a friction by a clip, and then you'd want to vacuum with those little round heads with the hair dusters and
but
go
then
through
the main the horizontal panels. So is there after I get the end caps off, I'll see what to do to.
Hopefully.
Take the end caps off if they come off. Some need to come off before you take the cover off.
Right.
Some don't. But the covers typically will be removed by grabbing onto the bottom, rotate, pulling towards you and up, and then take a vacuum with a little broom hair brush and go up and down those little fin tubes, and that'll help out the efficiency of your system.
All right.
Yeah, once I can get them exposed, I'm quite sure they'll do me better in the winter. Thank you very, very much.
Hey, man, have a great day. Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's here. Y'all right over there, buddy.
Tangled up in blues over here with the cord.
Tangled up in blue. Yeah. All right, let's go to Brian in Herkimer. Brian, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, you're on.
Hey, so, Darren, I am building a new house, and I'm putting a layer of continuous insulation on the outside.
And great idea.
I wanted to know what your opinion was. I see a lot of recycled foil-faced foam all over Facebook, that type and the fiberglass coated type. So I was looking at the foil face, but I've been told from some other builders that the polyiso can absorb water versus XPS, and I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Okay, it's two types of rigid insulation. Polyiso can absorb moisture versus XPS, and that's, for the listeners that are not aware, that's an extruded type of rigid insulation, typically used below grade. It will not accept moisture into its body. So, but you're above grade, and I wouldn't be afraid of the XPF. It's typically used. It's a great idea to put it on the outside of your house before your siding. It's like putting a winter coat around your body. It helps keep you warm best. Probably want to caution you about your dew point. You want to make sure that the dew point doesn't occur someplace within the wood frame part of your house. It can affect the dew point. Probably won't be a problem, but it would be something that I would look at. But overall, yes, polyisocyanurate, it's a great product.
Yeah, the foil face would be okay?
Yeah, it's foil-faced polyisocyanurate. Tape the joints on the outside.
Yep.
It makes a good
air
barrier, and it's a really good detail.
Okay, great.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. By the way, getting back to the salt-free water softeners, David in Cambridge writes in, I know Ray doesn't like brand names on the show, but I have one made by Springwell that has been installed for 3 years and works very well.
Yeah, I'll have to check into that. I'm not sure how it works without the chemical reaction with the salt.
Remember, your results may vary. You never know. But check it out. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Let's go to Beryl in Tieringham, Mass. You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, you guys. Thanks so much for taking the call.
You bet.
I've been a big fan of West Branch Engineering for a while. Here's a very simple question. Embarrassingly so, compared to some of the sophisticated high-tech building questions, but what is the difference, if there is one, between a heat pump and a mini split?
Six one, half a dozen another.
Just a name?
Yeah, it's a mini split is a type of a heat pump. Yeah.
Terrific. That's it. Thank you.
Wow. That was easy. That was the best one yet. Yep. Beryl, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551.
For all intents and purposes, they're the same. They used to have heat pumps that didn't do the heating and cooling as efficiently as what a modern-day mini-split would be.
Interesting. So, yeah. All right, so now we go to LaGrangeville. It's Arthur's turn. Arthur, you're on.
Well, first time on the radio.
Nice.
Thank you for taking my call.
You sound great.
So a little similar. Thank you. A little similar to your previous caller with basement water. So we have some basement water. The ground is very wet. There's a lot of clay in the ground around the house, and we have the sump pump, and with all the rain, interestingly, it stayed pretty dry down there. It did have no water accumulation at all, but I had an air conditioning unit guy come to put an AC in and found that the condenser, the condensed water was actually draining into the basement wall. It wasn't draining outside. Somehow he was able to figure that out. And consequently, we have some mold. And this water has been an issue for a while. And now we come to find out that this has probably been the source of the water all along, that it's been leaking from this, I guess with the AC unit, it condenses from condensation, the water has to be pumped outside. So we do have mold of varying colors, black, brown.
Okay. We're listening.
Do you have a question associated with that, or just want me to comment on that?
Yes, the question is, what's the best approach to deal with this?
Okay.
All right. And, you know, do I have to hire some? I mean, I'd probably have to. I've been actually had different people come and assess it. Do you actually have to have the mold tested?
Okay. I can respond to that.
Okay.
Change the sheetrock and get rid of the mold.
Gotcha.
And do it that way.
All right. From my experience and my perspective, the best thing to do is to stop the source of the water. Without the moisture, you're not going to have a mold problem. And if you remove the moisture problem, that mold will dry up and go away unless it's really deteriorated. I've taken continuing education courses, and PhD people have said as long as the sheetrock or wood is not badly deteriorated, it'll dry out and can remain. You don't have to do a big tear apart. So I just mentioned we're talking about heat pumps, and I'll try to move this along, Ray, because I see there's a bunch of columns here. But I do want to say that regarding these mini splits in heat pumps, there is a condensation involved, and that can be a problem if it's not piped outside or not piped to a plate where a fan can evaporate it.
Yeah.
Those condensation lines can be plugged, so keep an eye on that and clean those filters that are associated with the heads of those heat pumps. Okay.
Arthur, thanks a lot. And we'll go to Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Lynn, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I have had gutters on my roof before, and I got really big ice dams in the winter. And I'm wondering if there's any way I can put gutters back on and avoid the ice dams somehow.
Yes. You can do that by adding proper insulation in your attic and then adding proper ventilation in your soffits. The soffits are the portion of your roof that overhang your house. Really important to have your attic ventilated. Really important to have enough insulation in your attic. If you don't have enough insulation, you're paying too much for your heat, and also that warm air goes up, melts the snow, goes over the part of your roof that overhangs the soffit area, cools and freezes, and you have ice damp. So that's what you can do.
Okay, Lynn, thank you very much. Let's go to Richard in Poughkeepsie. Richard, you're on.
Hi there. So this is really your afternoon of mini splits.
Yeah.
So I have a 1925 house, and I wanted to retrofit it with air conditioning. And I am concerned about the integrity, really the look of the 1925 house, because it's really a great house. And I didn't want these ugly mini splits hanging from the ceiling in the formal living and dining areas. My question is, if I put in central air, the traditional central air, is there any material difference in doing that besides the aesthetic? And I think that's the extent of my question.
Well, you have to rip up a lot of things to put that in, though, right?
Well, yeah, the function of the system is the same. In the head of a mini split is the evaporator coil where you get the cool air from, and you see that's exposed. In a conventional central air system, you'll have ductwork run in hidden spaces, or it can be exposed in some cases. But then there's a coil inserted in the body of that ductwork, and that's where the cooling happens. So, you know, functionally, they're the same, but, you know, how the coil is located, where it's located, are different.
Richard.
Okay. So you wouldn't make a recommendation of one over the other if you had all the money in the world to do it.
You had all the money in the world.
I was going to recommend
renovating a 1925 house is not cheap.
Yeah, I hear that.
It depends on the space that you have in the basement to run the ductwork.
Okay.
It sounds like it's really the aesthetics are really important to you. If you have a full size basement, you get a mechanical HVAC contractor over there. You can get a price quote for a conventional central air system. If you have a warm air furnace now, it's not a big deal. You just add a coil into your ductwork, and you put your compressor outside. It's not a big deal.
But it's a 1925 house. It probably has radiators, right?
Well, it depends. There are 1925 houses with ductwork.
Did they really?
Sure, yeah. Huh.
But what do you have, Richard?
Radiators.
Yeah, okay. Then you're going to need a big system. I mean, that's why the mini splits are so popular, because they're relatively easy to install.
Yeah, and we retrofitted ours, Richard, but I totally understand what you're saying. We don't have a 1925 house. Ours is from maybe 1950, nothing special. And it was having the AC was worth it 100 times over. I'll tell you that, man. Well, good luck. Let us know how you did the next time you call in. Go ahead, Darren.
So the aesthetics didn't bother you of the head?
Well, you've seen my house. It could not be much worse, right?
Yeah, I just think you kind of get used to it. And, I just don't think it's that bad.
But I don't even notice
it's a personal, personal taste.
I do not notice the units now, except when it's 112 degrees. Yeah. And then I say, oh, boy, I'm glad I have those units.
Right.
All right, now we have a couple of minutes here. Let's go to Scott and Gardner. Scott, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, okay, so what I have is an 8-foot by 10-foot deck. I have 10-foot 4x4 posts around it, and I want to put a metal roof on it. And I was wondering if I can just use 2x6s for the border and then hang 2x6s 2 foot on center using purlings and putting the metal roof on.
What's the span, 10 feet, you said?
Yes, 10 feet's the span.
Probably not. Off the top of my head, you'd probably need a minimum 2x8s at 16 inches on center.
For a metal roof, because it's going to be three panels, and so they don't weigh a whole lot.
Yeah, but they don't, but snow does. So
that's
what
true.
You have to take into account. Yep.
So
okay.
You can maybe get a hold of me after the show or something, and I can take a look at that.
Well, this is a really good time for your email address, because we're about out of time here.
So occasionally I'll receive email questions, and if they're simple, I'll reply to them at no charge. They're more involved, then I'll just defer and say I'm sorry.
And you're not looking for work.
No, I'm not looking for
just as a
unless
service.
It's a really interesting project. I do take on projects from time to time, but they've got to be, interesting to me for some reason.
All right, so there you go.
And I do have, and that's Darren at WestBranchInc.com. I've got my West Branch Engineering and Consulting on Facebook and LinkedIn, and I've got my YouTube channel. Just type in Darren Tracy Engineer, and there's information out there.
Scott, thanks a lot for the call. We'll have to leave it there. Darren Tracy, I was going to ask your contact information, but you gave it already. This was a fun show today, and that was a really great Name That Tool. I'll tell you what, I'll never see one of those again. But thanks again for being on the show. I do recommend everybody check out his video that's on our page today at WAMC.org. Just look for today's Vox Pop show, and it's a great video, and all about painting bricks. I think you'll find it fascinating. Darren Tracy, we'll see you next time.
Okay, thank you.
Support comes from Windy Hill Farm, Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington. Blooming in June for the beginning of summer, hardy shrub roses, peonies, kusa, dogwoods, and the American fringe tree, WindyHillFarmInc.com. Freeling Heisen Morris House and Studio, Lenox, a modernist house set on an estate. Paintings on view, Cubist collection, including Picasso and rock, plus furnishings of the 30s and 40s, self-guided tours, freelingheisen.org. At WAMC On the Road, WAMC's new programming initiative bringing public radio in person throughout the WAMC listening area and face-to-face with listeners in their own communities. WAMC.org for more information. I got to do one of those once. And I met a lot of people face-to-face, and I guess we're doing it again in August. We're doing a couple things this year. They're dragging me kicking and screaming, but I'm going to do it. It's going to be fun. Hey, you can find out much more at WAMC.org. Thanks again to Darren Tracy for being here today. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zachary Malloy, our engineer. Andrea Leong screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. No show tomorrow. We'll see you Friday for Baking with Chef Gail Sokol. We'll see you, too.